Since I've done a video with you guys, and that's not for just any arbitrary reason. I've been doing a lot of planning, been doing a lot of organizing and making sure that I have something to offer you on the flip side of just a social media page. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with what it takes to build an entrepreneurship industry or some kind of entrepreneurship brand. It takes a lot of work. So today we're going to talk about very briefly what it means to research on our platform, what it looks like. We're just going to review that together, and then we're also going to talk about getting help with your filing processes, getting help with strategy, planning, and all those things for your estate, and for also for your claims. So just really quick, people on Instagram, you will not be able to see what I'm doing, but you'll be able to hear what I'm saying. So, if you want to see the actual video, you can go to our YouTube page, or you can go to, I don't know, Facebook. You can go either to YouTube or Facebook, and you'll see the images that I'm actually talking about. So, we created a platform. Okay, it's a research platform for many people who are on the path of do for self. And the reason why we created the platform is because we realize in the lifestyle of private governance or self-governing, a lot of people are interested in completing these filings for themselves, and they also are interested in drafting their own documents. And so we actually fully support that. We want to make sure that you're doing it properly, though. We want to make sure that you're considering the concepts and the maxims of law and making sure that you understand the hierarchy of law before you just jump right in there and start taking anybody's advice, and before you start to trust people and what they have to say about filing these documents, because it is extremely complicated. It's not something that you just do every day, and it should not be taken lightly. So, firstly, like I said, we're going to go over the research platform and make sure we understand why we're on here. So, if you are an active researcher, that means if you research on a regular basis, at least 3 to 5 times a week, we're looking to add you to this platform so that you can start learning with your peers who are also doing this research and pursuing the private lifestyle. You could actually collaborate with them to start talking about strategies, to start talking about drafting your claims, to talk about planning your estate, and to also, execute along with your peers. One of the most exciting things about the platform is that we're doing experiments. There are a lot of processes in the private governance lifestyle and the private governance community, where we actually don't know if certain things work. Okay. And so we want to put an end to that on this platform. So we're actually constructing real experiments with our real data so we can test out certain processes and see what is the easiest way for us to do what we're trying to do under the law. And of course, everything that we do is lawful. So I'm going to share my screen with you guys so that you can see a little bit of our setup and you can see what it means to get on this platform and do some of the work with us. So what you're looking at is Microsoft Teams. This is the platform we host our research projects on, and we use this to really come together and host our, excuse me, we have our database and some other things available. So what you're looking at here is a list of documents that we have collectively added to this database. This is extremely special because all over the place, people are exchanging information, they're giving templates, they are allowing other people to kind of piggyback off of their thoughts and their logic inside of these documents. And so when you see this database and you see all the things that are, available, it just gives you a foundation to be able to start your research and to be able to see what all is available to you, the things that you can learn. Because in the private governance lifestyle, we have so many areas of study that you need to really develop a working knowledge of all of them in order for you to be effective in your processes. So with that being said, like for example, all of these, when if you click on this folder, there's even more inside of that. Some of these folders have almost an entire list of things that go in addition to the entire list that we just saw. So as you can see, we have quite a bit on this platform. So when you're researching and looking for these solutions, I'm sorry, you guys are going to hear that. People are actually on the platform right now going back and forth. So anyway, when you see these documents, this is the foundation for your research, like I said. So you want to make sure that you're coming here first. You can upload documents and resources, links, or whatever you find from the rest of the internet, and you're allowed to come here to contribute to the database and also to learn from the database. You can download things for your own usage or to share with other people, and you can bring those same things to the platform so that we all can see what you're doing and how it's working out for you. So those are our files. Okay, so we have another special feature here, which is called a MindMeister. This is one of my favorite features because it allows everyone on the platform to brainstorm. Like I said, we're looking for opportunities where we can share with each other our ideas, our logic, the theories, the school of thought that we're coming from when we're designing these solutions. And so we want to use things like this to visualize what we're doing and make sure that it's solid, make sure that it is complete, make sure that we have considered everything we need to consider before we jump into filing things. So I want you guys to remember that this is law, okay? This is no different than what a lawyer does every day. So we need to make sure that we're not taking that lightly and make sure that we're looking into each component that is relevant to whatever our goal is, not just what we've been told or what somebody told us is the right way to go. That is not sufficient. Okay, it's really just not sufficient. So some of the things that would interest a person who's looking to self-govern is banking and accounting. You're looking at the code of law, which would be federal regulations. You're looking at commercial, especially commercial codes. You're looking at common law. You're looking at trust law. You're looking at, let's say, consumer protection laws. Those things are very relevant. We're looking at administrative law. We're looking at secured party. We're looking at the concept of creditor and debtor. We're looking at what it means to be an executor. Okay. We're looking at all of these different ways that we can express our freedom, our privacy, and enforce those things as well. So on the platform, we have so many features that come together for the purpose of you executing that and making it special to your goals in life and where you want to take your estate. So what you're looking at here is basically when people are going through our files that we just looked at and having discussions, you're seeing these discussions happen in real time. So they get indexed on this tab where you can see that we've had quite a few discussions about these different, about these different documents that are on the platform. So we have anybody who is talking, meaning if you pull up a document in your research and you say, hey, this is something that might serve me, it might serve somebody else that I know is looking at this type of thing, I can tag them inside of the document and I can let them discuss it with me. So this is what happened. We pulled this document up out of our database. And we just decided to tag somebody because we figured this person might want to see what this means. So over here, you can open up a tab that says conversation, and it'll allow you to, inside of the document, make reference to it while you're talking about it. That way, you're not confused about what's happening right in front of you. As you're researching, you're learning right then and there. So it becomes a very special and engaging interactive experience because the same people that you're studying with, you're actually executing and, you know, kind of practicing your craft with the people that you're learning with. And that to me is very special because it takes a lot for us to get these things under our mental, you know, wheelhouse. Okay. So for us to be able to understand what's happening here and then be able to use it, it's extremely special. All right. So one thing you'll also notice on this platform, which is another special feature, I'm kind of skipping around here, but we have an entire board okay, where you can actually come through here and research with us. We have research projects that allow for us to, you know, sort of work together, like I said, on these different projects. So we have different categories, which you see across the front. And each of those categories allows us to, it basically allows us to see what's happening on that project. And so it becomes special because we can collaborate on the project. Many of us are trying to do the same thing. So why not combine efforts, learn together, and figure out how we can optimize the research that we're doing and then make it more effective when we go to execute it. Okay, so that's really special to be able to do with your peers, especially when you're around like-minded people. So this is another special feature that looks to me a lot like the Facebook groups that many of us are used to, some maybe not used to, but this is called the watering hole. It allows us to sort of discuss in a more social environment what is happening. Okay, so we have these little, you know, cute posts that we can do. Of course, everything we have on the platform is interactive. You can tag anyone, you can post anything, you can go as deep into it as you like on this particular tab. But for the most part, this is for the social interaction where you can engage and allow yourself to be, you know, a little more social and engaging with the people around you. You can do that on all these tabs, but for this one, as you can see, we have about 43 people on here now. What we're looking to do is get a full 100 people. Clearly that means we have 57 spaces where we can allow others to come and join us and become a part of our core research team. So I'm going to be giving you guys a link that you can use. I don't know if it's on our website. I don't think it's on our website yet, but we have also here just a general chat where we can come to just kind of go back and forth with each other like you might see on the discussion tab in a Facebook group. It's just a community environment where everyone is here to just look at, you know, what's going on and just go back and forth with each other. So for that, I'm going to leave it at that because there are a couple other features on here, but I don't want to give you guys all the good stuff. You could come back if you would like, ask questions and see if you can become a part of it. I'd be happy to extend an invitation to you so that we can. Yep. So that we can get you on the platform and get you started. I'm trying to get. Bam. There we go. I'm new to learning all my little tools that I'm using to do my technology stuff. So with that being said, I want you all to make sure now when you're looking for assistance, like I said, we're going to talk about what it means to get help because you can come on this platform all day and you can allow us to guide you. You can allow us to just sort of point you in the right direction. But there's always going to be a point where you could use some help if this is not something you've chosen to do full time. Like I said, this is a lot like being a lawyer. So if you know for a fact that this is not something you can dedicate your whole life to or you can do every day full time, it could become something that's going to be long and drawn out, or it could become something that you don't really feel secure with just pursuing it on your own. So let me give you a few tips about what it means when you're going to look for help with filing these documents to privatize your life, privatize your businesses, privatize your finances, and so on. Many people are going to tell you that they have methods and remedies and solutions and things that you can do that are going to work, things that you can do that are going to, you know, get you money and all this wonderful, frilly stuff. But the fact of the matter is that there are some things that work sporadically, okay? But they are not consistent. And so our job is to make sure that we are looking for evidence of results and we're looking for what promises are being made. If you ever come across someone who is a service provider and they are making deep promises to you about being able to get you $1 billion, being able to get you out of jail, being able to pay all your bills, being able to reverse all your mortgages, being able to get rid of your bankruptcies, clean off your credit, zeroing out this and that, all these wonderful promises. I want you to remember that these promises are empty because no one knows what's going to happen when they go to file your documents. Everyone's situation is different. So if you're going to file these documents and you're trying to get these results, anybody can tell you anything. You really need to be involved in the process of your privatization. I would never suggest that you go to somebody that's going to promise you everything and then they're going to just do everything for you and you don't have to be involved at all just to sign your name. That is a terrible, terrible, grave mistake. And I'm asking you so deeply not to, entrap yourself like that. What we want to do instead is make sure that we're being involved. Anyone who is going to do filings for you, like I said, this is a much like a lawyer. You would never just tell a lawyer that somebody did something to you and you want them to pursue the case and then you never speak to the lawyer again. You just sign off on whatever they draft up. No, most of the time you're going to meet with the lawyer. You're going to have consultations with them. You're going to give them evidence. You're going to talk to them about what you want to happen to settle the case. You're going to talk to them about, you know, all the details that happened so that they can craft something that is relevant and befitting to the situation, something that's lawful. Now, anybody who is telling you they're going to do all these things under the law, but they haven't spoken to you about any of it, That's very problematic. They have not given you the time of day to be able to get into these filings, to be able to go deeply into what you're looking to do. This is also happening with document review. If you're sending off your documents to somebody to ask them what they think about it, did you make any mistakes? Those things are not going to be valid because they don't know what the situation is. No one can tell you if you made a mistake on your affidavit. No one can tell you if you made a mistake on your trust, really, because only thing they will be doing is looking for grammatical errors. They will be looking for what did you misplace or did you put, you know, maybe a state where you should have put a county or something like that. But that doesn't mean what you've brought to them is actually valid or that it will work. They could come back to you and say, yes, this is great. You filed everything correctly. This looks good according to my templates. This is great. You know, this is great language that you use. They're not going to be able to weasel their way out of this. Okay. And then you go to file it and you've completely applied the wrong hierarchy or the wrong concept of law to the entire thing. Okay. And so then when you come back and you're looking for these results and you're like, hey, I thought you were going to review my document. Yeah, I reviewed it, but because we didn't have a chance to sit down and talk, it was still wrong. I don't know what it was being used for. I don't know the context of the situation. I don't know how you want to settle this situation. I don't know how you intend to enforce. There are so many other things that go into just the document itself that administrating for that document or administrating behind that document has to be valid as well. You have to be applying the right code of law. You have to be applying the appropriate, like just say, for example, the common law versus admiralty law. Those things are extremely important. Is it going to be commercial law or private law? Where does it fit into these different categories before you say, oh, this is the right thing to file? Okay. Or tell me if this is the right thing to file. That's not something that could just be done without your involvement or without even your knowledge. So one of the things I like to tell people who come to me for assistance is make sure that if you're asking for help, that you first look for people who are going to sit down with you and make sure that they have the overall knowledge of where you're going with this. Because if you're going to a place, for example, you might be able to use a much simpler remedy. If you're talking to somebody that's knowledgeable, in most situations, they'd be able to give you more than one solution. They'd be able to tell you, well, you can go this way if you want to address the bond, or you might be able to use this title, or you might be able to use that affidavit, or you might be able to do a collection of all those things so that you have a package of things that support each other. That's okay. You can file five different methods to solve the same problem. And see they say throw spaghetti at the wall or something like that to see if it sticks. You can do that with your legal processes. And so it's up to you to be able to know that this is what you want to execute, especially when it comes to the design of your estate plan.
your estate plan has to be designed in a way that is going to allow you to sort of, the way I like to put it is you have to build a particular foundation before you build something on top of it. Okay. So if I want to build just a shed in the back, I might not need much of a foundation. But if I want to build a whole house, I have to plan my foundation according to what I want to build. Okay. And this is no different from your estate plan. Your estate plan is the exact same thing. So if you're saying that you want to have a corporate empire, you're saying that you want to be completely off the grid, or you're saying that you want to participate in commerce, but you just don't want to pay any taxes like Donald Trump. You can do all of those things, but the foundation of your estate plan must support the house that you want to build on top of it. And if it does not, then you just be setting yourself up to be spinning your wheels at a later time when the IRS pulls up on you looking for taxes, or when you have maybe the sheriff coming to your house telling you that you're liable for some kind of suit and you're being served because you didn't protect yourself properly for what you were trying to do. And I think it's extremely important to distinguish these things, because so many times I hear people in our groups saying, oh my God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. You guys, nobody can tell you what to do fully. Okay. You must come to the table with at least a vision, and then somebody might be able to guide you down that road as to how you might be able to execute that vision and get it to a place where it's operative. Okay. So when we're talking about getting assistance, make sure you take those things away from this conversation. You must at least have enough to get yourself to a place where somebody can pick up what you have and then take you further down the road. But nobody can just say, okay, this is what you want to do with your life, and this is how you do that. Okay. So let's just make sure that I'm going to say one more thing. A lot of times I get the same question of how do I become a secured party? How do I become a secured party? How do I get my bills paid? It is not as simple as the question might suggest. Okay. How do you become a secured party? Or what are the documents I need to file to be able to do this? It takes a certain level of separating yourself from the things that you feel you're aware of. So it's not just like everybody has the same documents that they have to file. Let's just say, for example, I'm gonna give you two people to use as a comparison to each other to make the point. So you have one person that's a single woman. She's don't really have a whole lot of assets. She just got finished paying off her car. I don't know, maybe she's never worked before. Maybe she's, I shouldn't say she's never worked. Let's just say she's never really done anything. She's never been married. She's just, a young person. But then you have an older person who has businesses. They have all kinds of contracts. Like, they've been married. Maybe they have, maybe they're getting Social Security benefits. Maybe this person has, just investments and all this other stuff, that they got a mortgage and they want to also become secured party. Secure party for both of those types of people is going to be completely different. It's going to be completely different. So if the older person wants to become secure party, what they firstly have to do is go through all their private files to figure out what kind of contracts have they made with the government. Everything we do with the government is about a contract. So this person will have to go find their mortgage contract, rescind the signatures on it. They would have to go find their marriage license, rescind the signatures on it. They have to go into the Social Security situation, rescind the signatures on the contracts that they've been doing. They would have to go into all different areas of their life to declaw the government out of their life. Okay. Yes, may I help you? Can I have a step, please? Boy, get out of here. You see, I'm working. I told you about that. Close my door. So, if you have all these things that are tying you into the government system, those are the things you have to get rid of for you to become the secured party, or for you to be lawfully secured. Okay. Because a secured party is really just a person that understands you are the one who is who has the credit to extend. Okay. When you realize as a secured party that you are the creditor, and see, a lot of people will tell you, it's secured party creditor. It's not secured party creditor. The creditor is the secured party. Do you catch that? The creditor is the secured party. So being a secure party means that you are aware of the fact that every time you go to any institution and you create a debt, that means you are the creditor. Because when you create the debt, whoever you've created the debt with, they're just extending your credit because you are the creditor. So once you realize that and you're able to operate from it, then you are the secured party. It's just the same concept of when you have secured a credit card. I'm pretty sure many people who are trying to build credit, they are suggested to go to the bank and say, hey, open up this secured credit card. That means that when you get the credit card, you have to first put money on there before you can spend it. Okay. And before you can use it on your credit. It's the same thing with the secured party. You have the money already. You're just putting it somewhere so that it can be spent, okay? And that person, the debtor, the company that you're creating the debt with, all they're doing is just helping you spend your money, okay? And so a lot of times we go to get these loans and we don't realize, or, you know, loans, mortgages, credit, we're doing all these things, but we're doing it from the premise that we are the debtor, that we're the one who is supposed to just be getting an extension of credit from the real debtor, which would be these companies. These companies don't have any credit to extend to us. They don't have any life force energy without us. So that could let you know right there, you're dealing with something that doesn't exist without you. So there's no way they're extending anything to you, because without you, they wouldn't be there. Okay. So these things conceptually is they have to be put into perspective. They have to be put into context, because it takes a lot for you to be able to go through your whole life, especially if you've been living, okay? If you've been living and you're out here doing all kinds of things in commerce, you have to put those things under the proper standing in order for you to be considered secure, okay? And so for that single person, for her to become secure, she might just have to file a UCC and get it perfected and attached. She might just have to maybe rescind her driver's license. She may have to simply do something with her birth certificate to maybe authenticate it, or to transfer the assets if she wants to liquidate all of the assets associated with that bond. She might be able to do that, transfer it over to her private estate, and then that's it. You know, it would be very limited on what she would have to do, because she doesn't have all these government contracts out here. And so, you know, that's the reason why when you say, what do I need to do to be a secure party? No one can really give you that answer without them sitting down to talk to you first. It's another equivalent. You couldn't go to a divorce attorney and say, what do I need to do to get divorced? And then just say, you know, what would they tell you? Leave your spouse, leave them. Yeah, and then you're divorced. It doesn't really it's not a simple answer like that. Okay. To become a secure party means that you are going through your own lifestyle. You're going through all the paperwork and you're saying, oh, I know I need to do this contract needs to go. This needs to go. And that needs to go. Okay. And so another thing I want to talk about with getting the bills paid, getting the discharges done, making sure that, your signatures worth money, and you know, all these other things that we know conceptually, but we don't know how to execute it. These things are a part of your estate. So one thing that we're doing on our platform, which I just showed you guys a few minutes ago, is we're doing experiments. Okay. There obviously is no popular way for you to discharge your bills, but there are some theories out there which we are looking to test. And so when we test these theories, what we're doing is making sure that we are testing out different methods. So in theory, there are like maybe 3 or 4 methods that I know off the top of my head that you might be able to use to get your bills paid. Personally, I'm testing these methods now. Okay. These are things that I've just been recently learning. And so as I learn them, they're being put in practice as I go. And so it could be you setting the value of your signature. It could be you offsetting things by way of accounting methods. It could be you sending notices to companies. One of my colleagues suggested that you send a notice to the people that you're looking to do business with. I don't agree with that much, but it's a theory. You could test it out. Send a notice to them and let them know that you want them to extend credit. You can also go through Title 15. You can dispute things and make sure that it gets paid for through that, with through the FTC and so many. There, you guys, this stuff goes all the way up and down the wall about what you can do and how you can allow yourself to be private. But all in all, I want you to take away from this that this is not something that is going to be a one-word answer. It's not going to be a simple solution. It's not going to be something that will not require your time. It's not going to be something that does not require your energy. You're going to have to learn, okay? Because when you become a private governance person, when you become privately governing, that means you're going to have to pay attention to when you're being violated. You're going to have to know when you're being violated. You're going to have to know what to do when you're being violated. You're going to have to know how to draft your correspondence. For example, unless you want to hire me or somebody like me, you have to know these things, because this is the way that you're going to be operating your life right now. So, like, for example, if you were hungry and you didn't have a job, you would know that there are certain protocol that you have to do to go to the Department of Health and Human Services or whatever it is and get food stamps. You would have to go through the administrative process. You know, you have to have your social security number when you go up there. You know, you have to have your income statements, or maybe, you know, you have to tell them about how much money you made. Are you looking for a job? Trust me, I've been there before. So yes, I do know this is what you have to do to get your food stamps. So administrating your private lifestyle is no different. If you're looking to get remedy, you have to know, what do you have to have? What needs to be a part of your claim? Who do you need to tell on? You know, who do you need to tell and who you need to tell on? These are all things that are a part of the private governance lifestyle. And so you do have to learn what to do. Because even if I came in, set up your whole estate, gave you all the strategies I can give you, even if I gave you all the templates I have on my database, if I did all that for you, you would be in deep trouble if you don't know what to do with that after I'm done. You understand? After I'm done, there is still a responsibility. There's still a duty. There's still an office that you have to hold in order for you to maintain your privacy. Okay. If you go into a courtroom after I set up your whole private estate and your whole private system, and then you go into a courtroom and they tell you that you owe a debt for a crime that you committed, right? And you don't know what to say to them, or how to respond, or what document to file, or how to get that liability or that obligation taken care of by the United States, you're going to jail. They're going to put you in jail. Because it doesn't matter if you filed it, if you don't know what to do with it. You can file it all day long. The filings don't mean much without the administration. Okay, the administration of those documents must be maintained. It must be upheld. It must be enforced. You have to follow up and follow through on those things. So if they you can set it up. But again, when you get violated, okay, do you know when somebody just forced you or coerced you into an implied unilateral contract that is not valid? Because if not, they're going to get away with the fraud. If you go into a car dealership and they violate your rights about paying the finance charge versus you paying the entire prices of all the interest and all the things, the loans and stuff that they got, and you don't know what to tell the dealership to do with your documents, or you don't know how to purchase it privately or without all those, you don't know what to report, you're going to get taken regardless of what you filed. You understand? So beware of asking for help without necessarily doing your own due diligence, okay? Do your own due diligence to make sure that after you're set up, that you have somewhere to go, that you know what to do, at least that you have support, or that you have a general understanding of what your job is, okay? Because when you set up your estate, you're also setting up offices. And I'm pretty sure that most of you are familiar with corporate offices, or corporate organizations, which is what a lot of us are doing the equivalent of, even though it's not always corporated or incorporated. We understand that when you set up an office, there is a duty to be performed. And guess what? When you go private, you are the 19 hats. Okay. You're wearing all the hats. You are the executor. You are the administrator. You are the trustee. You are the grantor. You are the secured party. You are the creditor. You are everything. You're all of that. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and close out on this because I don't want this video to be too long, but I do want you guys to check out serveboss.com. So that you can take a look at our frequently asked questions. Maybe you can set up an appointment with us if you have any questions. I'd be happy to talk to you about what it means to move forward with a service from us. Also, what it means to look for claims. If you're looking for a remedy for certain things that you're being taken for, like, for example, if you've purchased a car recently, if you've purchased a house recently, if you're looking to get out of, I don't know, the contracts that you've recently signed, if you're looking to have your bills paid, maybe you should come and talk to us and see what we can do for you. Because like I said, we are currently designing the strategies that are most effective in doing all those things. Okay. Especially using the claims process or the claims administration process. Okay. We'll be doing that to make sure that these companies that you're contracting with, that they're following the rules. If they're not following the federal regulations from their industry, then we're going to pull them up on it. And we're going to do a claim for you so that you can basically rescind your contracts and you can, get your restitution or get your remedy for the things that you are looking to get a remedy for. So with that being said, I'm going to close out. I appreciate you guys for listening. I do hope that you'll find the Spirit of Business on your streaming app, any music streaming app that you have. And you can also find us on Instagram at ServeBoss, which you see at the bottom of the screen. So I'm glad you guys made it. Please do come back. I'm going to try my best to be more consistent with these videos because I have a lot of work to do on a regular basis. And it's just hard for me sometimes to get on here and discuss to you guys what I'm doing. But I do appreciate you for being here when you do come. And I hope that you'll find some other videos from us online. Hopefully also, if you guys are interested in having discussions with me, I'm opening my podcast so that we can have some real life discussions about your questions. And we can, you know, kind of open that up on the floor for everyone else who has the same questions to be able to learn from it. Okay, so if you're interested in having a discussion with me live on the air, please do reach out to me and let me know if you want to just participate. You don't have to be on camera if you're not comfortable with that. But, you know, we will be doing an audio and video recording so that we can open up some topics of discussion for people to understand more about private governance and what you can do to remove yourself from being liable for obligations that are not yours. Okay. So peace and love, you guys. Do come back. I will look forward to seeing you soon. Peace.